This morning, would you turn with me to the book of James? Book of James, chapter 4. We're going to be talking about the unplanned life in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. James, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior, wrote these words of wisdom for us to consider. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Words of wisdom from James, the half-brother of our Lord, advising us that we should always go about our life as according to God's will. If the Lord wills, we can do this, or we can go there, because our life actually is in the hands of our Creator God. So today, let me ask you this question. What are you planning on doing tomorrow? Are you saying, God will it? I assure you not many people are. I suspect that most people have made their plans. They've not consulted God, maybe not even thought about God. They just made their plans, and they think they're going to carry their plans out tomorrow. But people are making plans that many times they can't complete. They can't carry out. People are making their plans ignoring God. Think about that. Ignoring God. Yet making their plans. We as Christians need to have a mindset all the time, every day. If it's the Lord's will, I'll do this, I'll do that. And maybe we see somebody, well, we'll see you later. If it's the Lord's will, amen, amen. Yeah, we are holy, church. We're holy, dependent on God for our life. We're wholly dependent on the Lord for our life. We don't have a monopoly on our life. No, not at all. We're dependent on Him for the success that we achieve in this life. We really are. We're dependent upon God. He alone can keep us, and He only can make our plans prosperous. Because He's God, and we're living in His world. And we're just vessels of clay, church. We're just vessels of clay, only here by the grace of God. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. If God wants to, He can stop our best made plans. Because all things are under His control. You can just look throughout the Bible and see how God many times intervened to protect His people Israel from the plottings of the wicked. Over and over, God would step in and bring confusion or disruption to the enemies of Israel, to His people, in order to protect them. God can do that, folks, anytime, anywhere. He's God. Oh, we're living in God's world, and God is God. He's real. Today, people don't even think there's a God in many places. Isn't that sad? It's really sad, folks. Again, we don't have control over the success of our plans. The success of our plan are but of His favor. It's of His favor. Remember, God owns all time. God is the author of time. He's the one that gives time. He owns all things. There's nothing he doesn't own. He owns the clothes on your back. He owns the air you're breathing. You can't even get your next breath unless God allows you to get it. He's God. And we need to recognize, if the Lord wills, I can do this, I can do that. Yes, God's will is done and not ours, because we live in His world. We're living in His world. Yeah, God does give us a will. God made us free moral agents. He allows us to make choices. Yes, that's true. But any time He can step in and put an end to that, because He's God and He does what He wants to do. Oh, yes, He does what He wants to do. And He's not dependent upon you and what you want to do or don't do. No, He's God. And He's the sovereign one over all things that's going on in this world. Yes, God owns all time. God owns all things. Yes, God gives every breath that you breathe. God give it to you. Yeah, God's will is done and not ours, because we live in His world. And everything we do in this life that He gives to us, did you realize we got to give an account to Him at Judgment Day, my listeners and my brothers and sisters? We got to give an account of what we did in God's world. Yeah. Now, those of us that's been saved, all of our sins have been forgiven us. We're not going to answer to any sin, but we're going to answer is, how do we live in God's world? How do we live in God's world? What do we do with the opportunities we have? And then it'll be determined if we get any rewards or not. Think about that. Yeah, we're living in a time that the way we live as Christian men and women will determine if we get any rewards or not. Yeah. And we ought to be mindful of that. We shouldn't be serving the Lord to get rewards. Don't misunderstand. But we should be serving the Lord because with our best, because we love the Lord. And we want to please the Lord because of what He's did for us. Look what God has did for me and for you. He's forgiven us all of our sin. He has sacrificed His best, His Son, so that we might live. Think about this. Think about this. Oh, brothers and sisters, God does give us a will and time and strength and opportunity, but He can intervene at any time He pleases in our life. You ever wonder sometime why people that's young are taken out of this world? Young, healthy individuals, but they die young. Yeah. And then some of the most wicked people that there's ever been live to be 80 and 90 or more. Only God in His wisdom know what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. But everyone, no matter who we are, we all got to stand before God and be judged for how we lived in His world. Yes, yes. We don't own our life. I know today we got those people that's boistering of, this is my life, this is my body, I can do with it what I please, it's mine. It's not. You didn't make your body. Man didn't make his body. Women didn't make their body. God Almighty made their body, made them in their mother's womb. Read Psalms 139 sometime. David talked about that, how he was fashioned in his mother's womb. God did that, folks. An almighty and all-wise and all-loving God formed all of us in our mother's womb in a process of some 9 months. Yes. David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you look at the human body, and you think about all that makes up a body, a person's life. Oh, folks, the wisdom and the knowledge and the power of God. Only God could do that, folks. Only God could do that. No, we don't own our life. And we do not fully control our life either. You can't control the next second. No, you can't control the next second. Remember those people riding down the highway from Pennsylvania here a while back? They're on celebrating their anniversary on their way south to spend a few days together celebrating their anniversary. And what happened? Somebody shot and killed that lady, the wife of that man. Just began to shoot in at the car and killed her. 1 second, they were so happy. They were together, going off to have a good time. And the next second, she was dead. No, you don't control your life. I don't control my life. God's in control all the time. Nothing can't happen without his permission. Yeah, the ways of God are past finding out, my church folks here today. Brothers and sisters, God is in control all the time, and nothing can't happen without his permission. I believe it. I believe it. But we should plan our life in God's will. That's what James is talking about. If we're going to do this or if we're going to do that, if it's the Lord's will, we should say. If it's the Lord's will, I'll see you tomorrow. If it's the Lord's will, I'm going to so-and-so's house tomorrow. If it's the Lord's will, because one day it won't be his will. Amen. One day it won't. So many people today live their lives as if they're going to live forever. Think about that. You see how people are going about today as if they're going to live forever. So many seem to have no fear of God either. They're not afraid of God. Yet, all around them, people are dying. 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 And yet they seem to think they're going to live forever. What do they think is going to exclude them? They think death's going to exclude them? No. No. So many people today don't have a fear of God. They're not afraid of God. Yet all of them, around them, people are dying and having to go meet God. And woe to that soul that don't have a Savior. Woe to that soul that don't know Jesus in the forgiveness of their sins. Because now they're going to be eternally separated from God. Eternally. That's a long time, folks. Eternity is a long time to be separated from a loving God. Because they would not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When will people learn they're going to die? Just because you're young doesn't mean you're going to live to be 70 or 80 or 90. No. No. It appears people think death is not coming to them. But it is. It's been appointed. It's been appointed. Yeah. So many people think, well, I'm young. I'm going to have me a good time before I get old, and then I'll get saved. That's the way a lot of people believe and think. Yeah. But you take a walk through any cemetery. Yeah. And you'll find the young as well as the aged entombed there. And you'll find just as many young people in the graveyard as there's old people. Yeah, there's a lot of young people there. Yeah, death comes to a person in so many different ways also. There's so many ways you can leave this world. Hundreds of ways you can suddenly leave this world. You can leave so fast also. You can leave so fast. You can be in perfect health if there is such a thing. You can be in perfect health and be dead in a split second. A blood clot could take you out. Yeah. You just like that. Or a stray bullet. Yeah. I mean, an accident. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many ways you can leave this world. And it's going to come to every person. It's going to come to every person. There are hundreds of ways. And people leave it so fast. Is so-and-so dead? Well, I just talked to them. Yeah. It was their time. The Bible says, as is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. You see, when you die, that's not the end of you. You got to face the judge. Got to face the judge. What'd you do in this life? How'd you live your life? What about you and God? Have you sought God? You sought the will of God? You sought the Savior God provided for your sinful soul? Oh, brothers and sisters here in the church today, are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you've been born again? You sure you're a child of God? Better be sure. You better not die in your sin. Oh, to be so pitiful. Yeah, none of us are promised one more second. Not even one more second has been promised. Search all the scriptures. There's not one second promised. We live by God's grace, second by second. Think about that. Death is always intimate. Death is always intimate. It could happen at any moment. It could happen at any moment. Because God is the giver of life. And when he makes that decision that we've been here long enough, we can leave this world and leave it fast sometimes, folks. If we are wise, we will be prepared at all times to meet our Maker. If we're wise, we'll walk careful in this world. If we're wise, we'll be saying, Lord, if it's thy will, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I often think of the man dying drunk, going to meet God. Think about that. The man that dies drunk, going to meet God. What about the murderer, the thieves, and all who refuse to repent of their sin and trust Jesus to save them, going to meet God? Unprepared, church. They're unprepared, church. And they'll be unprepared for eternity. Eternity separated from the love of God, from the grace of God. Oh, how pitiful. And they'll never have a chance to correct their mistake. It's final. It's final. What a terrible experience that's going to be, folks. Remember, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get saved. The day you have the opportunity to get saved. Now is the time to get saved. Yeah. God's giving you this time to get saved. He's giving you enough time to get saved. You don't need any more time. Today's the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Turn from your sin. Confess your sin. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Start loving him, serving him. And let him use your life and bless your life. While we are not promised tomorrow, we should plan today in the will of God. That's important. Myriads of people will spend eternity separated from God who were planning to get saved. Think about that. Many, many people are planning to get saved. but most of them never do. They never get around to it. They're cut off before they do. Life is uncertain as far as man is concerned. But God knows the day you're going to leave. And if we're wise, we'll get ready today in case it's my time to leave this world. I don't want to leave this world in my sin to meet my Maker. Church, you don't want that. You don't want that. Think about this. Many are planning on getting saved, but their plan failed. Their plan failed. In Psalm 37, 1 and 2, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. These people that won't get saved, they live their life the way they please. That's what he's talking about, folks. They're going about living like they want to live. Many of them are living wicked lives, evil lives, godless lives. But God says, don't fret about it. I'm going to cut them down like the grass. And they're going to wither as the green herd. And when God cuts a wicked man down in his sin, oh, pity that man, that woman, that spends eternity separated from a loving God. Oh, separated from a God that loved them so much. He loved them so much. He sent them his only son to die on an awful cross to pay for all of their sins. And if they would have just accepted his son as their savior, he would have loved them as their father. They would have been his children, and he'd have brought them to be with him in his home, his house, for eternity. Oh, brothers and sisters in the Lord, life is serious. Life is so serious here. We must all remember when we look at time and life, they pass so quickly. Oh, it don't seem like many years ago I was out on a baseball field playing baseball, folks, having the time of my life. Now, I was a Christian when I was playing baseball. I received Christ as my Savior when I was 14. And, you know, I'm so glad that I did. I enjoyed playing baseball. But, you know, those days went by. And it don't seem like it's been that long. But I tell you what, it's been a long, long, long time now. Oh, the years have gone by. Yes. The psalmist said in 103:15, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Oh, we're young just a little while. We're just young a little while. And then we're in our middle ages, and you know what? We're just speeding towards retirement, and some of us have already passed retirement, and we're still going on. Yeah. But our day is appointed. One day will be the last day. If it's the Lord's will, he might give us another day. Amen? Amen. Yes, the grass grows and fades away, and the flower is pretty for a few days. So is our life brief when compared to eternity, brothers and sisters. Again, the brother of our Lord said in James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We got plans for tomorrow. We may not see tomorrow. As far as we're concerned. Yeah. I often think of so many people I've known in my life who've been gone for many years. Many of them my age. I remember just thinking about the other day. Over half of my classmates in high school are already gone on. Some of them have been gone for many years. Their lives were short. Why? I don't know. God didn't give them many years for whatever reason he had. For some reason, he's allowed me to continue on. I don't understand all that, but life is a gift from God, and the life he gives us is to be lived for his glory and for our well-being, brothers and sisters. Yeah. Jesus gives us some wise advice in Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barn. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Think about that. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, but taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And here's the wisdom of Jesus, listen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're making such big plans for our lives so often when God has other plans. Think about that. God has other plans. I started out working in textiles, but my career went to Mexico. So I became an insurance salesman for a few years. And then God called me into the ministry. It was all unplanned. I didn't plan to be a minister, I tell you that. I never felt called to be in textiles. I just went and got a job. And I never felt called to be an insurance salesman. But, you know, I did that for a few years, winning trips to Florida and New Orleans. But I tell you one thing, and it's the truth. God called me into the ministry, which I resisted as long as I could because I didn't feel qualified to be a minister of the gospel. But God began to do all these things I did not plan. Yeah, we started out on radio 50 years ago, 5 and 6 days a week. That began back in 1972. We built a church in 80 and 81, all unplanned. I never planned no such a thing. We were on the local TV for 25 years and on the Family Worship Center television for many years also. Now the Lord allowed us to write songs and record them to use in our radio ministry. Our church now shares Bible Time Radio on 11 stations. All of this unplanned on my part, but planned by God. Isn't that awesome? It did not happen, however, until I accepted his plan. You see there, folks, we got to accept his plan. We got to accept his will. And see, we go about our life, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And God allows us. God allows us. But sometimes we come to a dead end. Yeah, because God had other plans. We should always seek, Lord, thy will be done. I'm sharing this with you to tell you of an unplanned life that God planned. So let me ask you today, are you doing what you feel God has called you to do? I know God doesn't call everyone to be a minister, but he still has a plan and will for every person. Every person, God's got a perfect plan for their life. God has a plan life for all of us. What we must do is seek his plan. Seek his plan. Paul writing to the church at Philippi in 2 Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Consider the lives that are miserable today because they're not in the will of God. So many people's lives are miserable because they won't seek the will of God. Yeah, God does allow man to exercise his will. We're free moral agents. You get to choose. But we have this old book here, the Bible, the Word of God, to give us direction and wisdom if we would only listen to it. Jesus told us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as in heaven," meaning we should always seek God's will every day. Brothers and sisters, you get that? You get that today? God's will is the best place to live at. Yes, it is. Remember, God called Abraham from his country to travel to the promised land. He would give his people. He had to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles. And he didn't have a vehicle. He had to ride a camel or a donkey or walk. That was his choices. Amen. He called young Joseph from a prison in Egypt to provide food to feed his people. He called Moses from the backside of a desert to be the leader of his people. God called David from tending his father's sheep to be the king of Israel. God called Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church, to be the apostle to the Gentiles. God is calling us to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, God is calling people to repent of their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll make them a part of the church, the bride of Christ, where we'll spend eternity in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. And everywhere else in creation will be with the Lord our God. So that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that, is what James says in James 4. So we can make our plans. But if we are wise, we should always say, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go here, or I'm going to go there, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Only God knows each second of our lives. Each second of our lives, God knows about. Nothing hid from him. Yes, God has numbered our days, and only he knows when we must leave this world. The important thing is to be ready. Be ready. Being ready means being saved. There's only one way to be saved. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. Jesus is the only Savior. He's man's only hope. There's no other way to heaven, no other way to forgiveness of sin, only through Jesus Christ and him alone. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that paid for our sin by shedding his own holy blood to wash us and cleanse us, whereby we might be forgiven. And by the grace of God, being born again, made it a new person, where we can become sons and daughters of God to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father and Savior. Yes, God has numbered our days. He knows how many days are allotted to you and to you and to you. The important thing is be ready today. He might call you today. And it means being faithful also, that he might hear, we might hear him say when we are brought into his presence, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear the master say that? The day he calls us home, we come into his presence and we're greeted and he excitedly says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Yeah, Psalms 90:10 says, "The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And by reason of strength they be 80 years. That's 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Listen to me today, brothers and sisters. No matter how many years the Lord lets you stay here, one day you're going to fly away. Yeah, you're going to fly away. It could be suddenly. You may not have many years. But the Bible says in Psalms 90:12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Hey, each day is special. It's a gift of God. A day for you to love the Lord. A day for you and I to please the Lord. A day for you and I to seek the will of the Lord. And so we should always seek to be in God's will and living for his honor and for his glory and being prepared to meet him at any moment. Brothers and sisters, you'll be a wise person if you live like that. You'll be a very wise person. We need to deeply consider our own frailty and the shortness and uncertainty of life, that we may live in eternity with the Savior forever. We need to get to know God in this life and be at peace with him, living in his will, so we can live and reign with him eternally. If someone's here today that knows not the Savior, today's the day of salvation. If you'll just say, "Lord, I'm that sinner Jesus died for. I want you to forgive me. I want you to save me. I want to serve the Lord. I want to one day live with the Lord. And I'm just trusting the Savior today." He'll save you. Save you right now. You don't do anything but just confess you're a sinner. Trust him and he'll save you. And may God speak to heart. "Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the grace of God that gave us the will, the word of God, that we might know the will of God. And Lord, thank you that you sent your dear son to the cross, who paid for all of our sin, and that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Bless us, use us, help us exalt the name of our Savior. We pray always in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.